They were known for their zuhud, and this began in the time of our 6th Imam, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, but especially in the time of our 8th Imam, because of his travels, he would come into contact with these people who would become ascetics off in some corner in the world worshipping, and they were often able to mislead people or to gather people around themselves because they were known as very pious, very ascetic people who would renounce the world. So this is one of the challenges that the Imam faced, and it's a timeless challenge even in our time. There are many who will use religion to try to gain a following, to gain leadership, not in order to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam says, "Man shahara nafsahu bil ibadati fattahimuhu ala deen." Whoever lets themselves acquire a reputation for ibadat, then doubt their religion. Doubt that their religion is sincere. Raise your guard. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَكْرَهُ شُهْرَةَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَشُهْرَةَ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like for ibadat to become well known. Allah does not like for a servant to become well known among the people. Now, if that happens by Allah spreading a good name about a person, that's one thing. But there is a clear difference between a person who enjoys and encourages people to know their virtues and between a person who hides their good deeds and does good deeds in secret, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lets their good reputation spread through society. So if somebody is not averse, does not try to maintain that privacy, does not do their good deeds in secret, but is very public about it, then this is something which should raise question marks. We shouldn't let ourselves be deceived by the apparent status. And then the Imam continued, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِنَّمَا فَرَضَ عَلَى النَّاسِ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَالْلَيْلَةِ سَبْعَ عَشْرَةَ رَكْعَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only made wajib on a person 17 cycles of prayer in the day. The 17 raka'at of daily prayer. That's the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory. مَنْ أَتَى بِهَا لَمْ يَسْأَلْهُ اللَّهُ عَمَّا سِوَاهُ. If a person does those 17 raka'ats of prayer, then Allah will not ask them about anything else. Well, you had more time, did you do extra? That's not going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّمَا أَضَافَ إِلَيْهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ مِثْلَيْهَا لِيَتِمَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ مَا يَقَعُ فِيهَا مِنَ النُّقْصَانِ. The Prophet added, and the Prophet had that authority, the Prophet added the nawafil, which are twice in number the actual wajib parts of the prayer. So if we have 17 wajib raka'at, the Prophet added 34 raka'at, twice that number, in order to complete whatever deficiency we have in our wajib prayers. So in reality, we should be praying those 17 raka'at carefully. And if we do them carefully, then that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked of us. But because there will always be distractions, deficiencies, areas where our intention is not pure, so the Prophet, through the authority Allah had given him, added 34 raka'at to that to complete the prayer. So we are not now doing 17 raka'at with full focus, as many of us are not entirely able to do, but we will do an additional 34 raka'at if we are able, in order to make up for the deficiency in the wajib part. So this is a basic principle of Sharia. And then the Imam concludes, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَلَىٰ كَثْرَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ وَلَكِنَّهُ يُعَذِّبُ عَلَىٰ خِلَافِ السُّنَّةِ. This is the important part of the hadith. Allah will not punish a person for praying a lot or for fasting a lot, but Allah will punish a person for contradicting the sunnah. So the wajib prayer is 17 raka'at. The sunnah that the Prophet added was 34 raka'at. The wajib psalm that we have is the month of Ramadan. The additional recommended fasts are the ones that we have mentioned in a hadith, 3 days of every month. And if a person is able, the month of Sha'ban and the month of Rajab are also good to fast as a recommended fast. If a person goes against that sunnah, does the khilaf of the sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may actually punish them. Not because they fasted more, and not because they prayed more, but because they belittled the sunnah. They made it seem as if that's not something which is a role model. There are ways where we may sometimes, through a vow or an oath, we may do much more than the sunnah. Because, for example, we have certain vows that we want to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our needs to be fulfilled. We may pray for the forgiveness of our parents, our fellow believers, so we may add other recommended prayers. We may pray Salat Ja'far al-Tayyar or other recommended prayers. Similarly, a person may add other recommended fasts. That's a verse of Quran. But if you want to seek Allah's help, then do it through fasting. If we do that by belittling the sunnah, right, saying that this is the true spiritual path, now for a person who wants to get ahead, to fast every day, to pray from morning until evening. In this case, we have opposed the sunnah. We're not going to be punished for the extra, but we will be punished for belittling the sunnah. However, if we do extra recognizing that the sunnah is what the Prophet brought, but because we have some extra time or some extra needs, then we are going to use that time to do dua to Allah, to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Allah, to pray to Allah through these means, then that is acceptable. But by preserving the sunnah, what we are doing is we are preserving the priorities that Sharia gave us. Which means that if we have different circumstances in our lives, we have other obligations to fulfill for our families, for our communities, then we're not going to get distracted by that habit that we have made of fasting or praying. It's not going to distract us from our other obligations. So I hope I have made it clear that what the Imam is referring to in this hadith and other ahadith, it's not the quantity of the prayer or fasting. That's not something that is going to be criticized or punished. But if that extra quantity of prayer or fasting, it is done in a way that removes the priorities and the sunnah of the Prophet, that makes that a new ideal to strive for, which is used to kind of mislead people into thinking that that is the ideal that a Muslim should look for, not what the Prophet used to do, then this is something which is changing the face of Islam, and it's not worthy of reward, even if it means extra devotions and worship. But it is worthy of punishment. It is displeasing to Allah. Because once the religion, its face has been changed, then it will not produce those results that it was intended to produce. Just like good food, if you have too much of it, it won't be nutritious, it may actually become poisonous. It may harm your health. In the same way, these acts of worship, if they are done with the spirit and in the way and with the priorities that the Prophet brought, they will have their desired effect. But if they are done with the wrong spirit or in the wrong way, then they may actually have the opposite effect. Salat. There are a few other ahadith that I want to just quickly indicate. One is a series of ahadith which is known as Akhbaru Man Balagh. And this is a series of ahadith in which we are taught that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established the system of wajibat and mustahabbat, things which give us extra thawab and things which are obligatory. Now there is a natural process that will come about when these ahadith from the Prophet and the Imams are conveyed to people, that some of them will be very definitive, others will be less definitive. So there might be some ahadith which we hear, but which we're not 100% sure are they accurate or not. If you recite Surah Yasin, it will give you this reward. Or if you do this act of worship or this dhikr, then it will give you this reward. And so then we don't really know, is it a sahih hadith, is it authentic or not? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is He gives us a promise. He says that if you have heard about the thawab of a certain action and you do it for that reward, even if the hadith was not sahih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still give you the reward. Right? This is comparable to sometimes you have companies that may have a warranty on a certain product. Right? There may be instances where a person will have voided the warranty, or where a person may have unknowingly been sold a counterfeit product or something that doesn't actually have the warranty there. But when the company receives that request to service that product, they might still honor it, even though they're under no obligation. They never made a promise to service that particular problem or that product because it wasn't their product. Why would they honor it?